So yes, this is the first of two sessions this evening as we come to the end of this year, and we'll be seeing in the new year in the second session. So at the Deva earlier today, was encouraging us to do quite a lot of looking back over the last year, reflecting on the last year, both the things that we found challenging and more positive. And we did that, a very lovely meditation that he led on the upekkha bhav, know where we were. Trying to get a bit more sense of perspective, dharmic perspective, and equanimity within that metta towards ourselves and others, and seeing how, for all of us, there may have been things that were joyful, there may have been things that were painful, and all the sort of conditions, everything that occurred was dependent on conditions, both the more positive and the more negative, for us and for others. Some of those conditions are outside of our control, but some of them may be because of our actions or lack of actions that we've led to our own or others' suffering, which is this whole area of our ethical practice, really, where we're trying to bring more awareness, act less from ignorance and delusion, from craving and aversion, which are there, we're always working with, and more from our more positive qualities and values. That's really part of what the practice of ethics is all around. We looked at the worldly winds and including, what was it, praise and blame, loss and gain, fame, infamy, and God, I'm forgetting, what's the last one? Da-da-da-da-da.
Pleasure and pain.
Pleasure and pain, yes. And I'm sure that we've all experienced all of those during the year. So for me, very much, it's very, very easy to get into blame, self-blame. Sometimes other people are critical of us and blame us, but often a lot of the blame that we experience is coming from within. We've got these views, maybe very high expectations of ourselves, maybe judgments of ourselves, a bit critical, and then we can get into blame and self-blame or thinking we're not good enough. And that can be very undermining. And interesting enough, it is also, from a Buddhist perspective, unskillful and unethical, because it's sort of directing ill will towards ourselves, and we're trying to cultivate kindness, and that includes kindness towards ourselves. So when we're not kind to ourselves, that's seen as unskillful. And then we can get into blaming ourselves for that. When we get into blame, we can get into shame, we can get into guilt, and all of those things are not helpful, and they can sort of paralyze us and stop us from acting and stop us from making positive changes, and also help us get into quite negative spirals or old patterns. And probably that pattern of being critical, the internal critic that we've internalized is coming from experiences we've had, from things other people have said to us that we've taken to be true, even if they're not. Or we've kind of fixed ourselves, we all behave in ways that we may not be proud of, that we may regret, that might, be unskillful, unethical at times, you know. Sometimes it's conscious, sometimes it's not conscious, sometimes we don't really have the awareness, or we're just acting, reacting out of those old patterns. But there are times when, you know, we do things that we regret, we do things that, you know, we know are not coming from the best of ourselves, that could be harmful potentially to us and others. So what do we do with that when we become aware of that? How do we, you know, turn towards it with honesty, acknowledge what's there, and move on in a more positive way? Use it as an opportunity for learning, for practice, for change, you know, for making more creative choices, more beneficial to ourselves and to others. So I thought I would say a little bit about confession. So in Buddhism, we do have confession, and it is a practice as well. Slightly different, I think, in what I understand as confession, say, in Catholicism. And I think people are sometimes surprised to hear that we do confession. But sometimes in a puja, for instance, in the Sevenfold Puja, there are a whole set of verses around confession. And we do it quite often in a ritual way. And why would we do that? Well, it's partly to let go of things that aren't helpful, because it's like with guilt, you can just remain feeling bad about something and paralyzed from acting, or you're holding on to your shame, or, you know, you've got a fear, and you're carrying that along with you, and it's getting in the way of other things, and it's weighing you down, and it's not making you feel great either. And probably out of that place you may find yourself not able to move on, really. So in Buddhism, what is seen as important is that if you're practicing ethics, we're using the precepts. Ratnadeva mentioned the precepts, these ethical guidelines or principles that you're trying to live your life according to, and they're kind of guidelines. So rather than having rules or commandments that you should do this, you shouldn't do that, what we're given is the underlying ethical principle as expressed in the precept, and then you just try and apply it to every area of your life or every situation you find yourself in. And it's seen as a practice that we can get better at and more skillful at, you know, over time, and more ethically sensitive, and also, I suppose, from our experience of having messed up or done things, we can maybe next time do it a little bit more skillfully. Yeah. And it's something about also taking responsibility, ownership for our actions and our agency that we do have, that do impact on ourselves and others that we're around. So first of all, what's important is to sort of notice that you're trying to behave in an ethical way, and that the precepts, basically, there's the five precepts, which are the core precepts, going right back to the Buddha's time, that when people decided they wanted to commit themselves to following in his footsteps, to becoming a Dharma practitioner, and they would often say they wanted to go to refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha as that commitment. And then after that, they would, recite the five precepts. And they do it, in a way, express their commitment and the values and how they wanted to live their lives, you know. And as their guiding principles, it's not that expectation that you're always going to be acting ethically that you're never gonna fall short of your things, but it's that you have those principles and you come back to them again and again, and over time that changes you and helps you to develop more positive habits and ways and perspectives, you know, using those as a sort of framework. And in the first they're sometimes expressed in a sort of negative thing in terms of the things you're trying to avoid doing. So the very first one is around trying to avoid harm to other living beings. And the more positive one about that is around, I suppose, love, kindness, care. And you also are trying to not take the not given. And the positive version of that is generosity. Craving is another key one, and particularly what's seen as the most unskillful way, one of the most unskillful ways is when we're craving and we harm people. And there's a precept about sexual misconduct in terms of when people act out that craving in a way that harms people. But actually the positive thing is around contentment and yeah, so basically when we're not craving things, when we are content, you know, then we are not going to let our craving for things drive us in ways that might be harmful. And trying to be truthful, as Randa Davis said, trying to be authentic. And sometimes it needs quite a lot of work and practice to, you know, uncover the truth. You know, we have all these misconceptions and views and delusions that we just take to be true. And part of our practice is, you know, around becoming more familiar with those and uncovering those and seeing through those and seeing things as they really are. And that sense of having mindfulness and awareness, because without that it's very hard to change, it's very hard to have any kind of real basis for our practice if we don't have any awareness. You know, and out of that lack of awareness, you know, often we will behave in ways that are destructive or harmful. So when we're practicing ethics, we're trying to act from the more positive and not the more negative parts of ourselves, and trying to act in accordance with these guidelines, these precepts. How we speak to each other as well is also another area of that. And we fall short. So what do we do when we fall short, when we know that we've done something that's been harmful, unethical, that's broken a precept? Well, that's when confession comes in from a Buddhist point of view, that you actually acknowledge that you have broken that precept, you confess that you have. Now, you can do that in an informal way, you can do it with a friend, with a teacher, you can do it in a more ritual way, you can do it to a Buddha or a Bodhisattva, or maybe you're just doing it internally and you're acknowledging it yourself. But the important thing is to be honest, to see what you've done, to be clear in what ways that you did break that precept, to have that desire not to do it again, you know. And if you have harmed someone and there's an possibility of making amends, then you would try and do that. And you'd probably do a little bit of reflection. Well, what were the conditions that led to you behaving in that way, that led to you breaking the precept or acting in this unethical way? And then having that awareness might help you next time when there are similar conditions not to act in that way. But quite often we repeat things again and again and again, but eventually we get the message. But yeah, having that awareness of the conditions, having that intention not to want to do it again, and making amends if you can. And then once you've acknowledged that, taken responsibility for that, then you kind of let it go. So you're not carrying it along with you the whole time. Yeah. And sometimes we do it in a ritual. We might be doing a puja and we make a confession and we can make it in our hands. And sometimes we write it down and then we might put it in a bowl, say if it's on a retreat or at a physical venue where we're practicing. And then we might ritually just burn that symbolically to sort of transform it and let it go. So there's going to be an invitation to sort of think a little bit about things that we regret doing that might be weighing on us, and to maybe just write it down as a confession to ourselves that we might be able to let go of later. And we're all in our own individual places, but the invitation is if you write it, then maybe you could later on, after this session, perhaps burn it. If you're at home and you've got a little saucepan, you could do that. Or you might want to do it outside if you've got that opportunity. Anyway, or you might not want to do that, but it's interesting how sometimes doing something in a more ritual, symbolic way can actually have an effect on our psyches. Yeah, bring kindness to ourselves, bring more kindness and not judge ourselves. So sometimes it's hard to do that for ourselves, and it's helpful when there's other people around. And I also find it helpful, to think of, the Buddha and the archetypal Buddhas and Bodhisattvas as being there as well, there to support us, help us, and they're not going to judge us. Yeah. They're not going to be critical. They just know reality and they are there. So Amitabha, who we've been chanting his mantra quite a lot on this retreat, this archetypal Red Buddha of the West, associated with the Buddhism and transforming craving and with compassion. He's got this wisdom. He's got this wisdom that sees the uniqueness of everyone and everything. And it's said that he has this great love and compassion for all living beings. And he sees our uniqueness and he still loves us. And it's said that he looks on every living being with the eyes of a lover, with that idea that, when you're in love, you sort of see everybody. You see your partner, and at that point, every little thing about them, even things that might be seen as faults, you love, because you just love them so much and the whole package of them. And so that whole idea is that Amitabha does that for each and every one of us, that he sees us really deeply, who we are, how we are, in all our uniqueness, and he still has this great love and compassion for us. So sometimes I find it helpful when I'm not able to do that myself to just be aware of Amitabha and maybe calling on him or connecting with him. So we will be chanting his mantra in a minute. And then after his mantra fades away, it'll just be a period of silent reflection, and that there's an invitation to sort of think about if there are any things that you regret, any actions you regret, and those actions can be a body, speech, or mind. Maybe just to jot them down on a piece of paper. As things that you just want to let go of, yeah. Or if there's sort of habits, ways of being that you've become more aware of, and you think, oh, this isn't helpful, I wish I didn't do that. You can maybe jot those down as well. So let's do Amitabha mantra. We're going to do the plain mantra. We're going to keep it up for a little while just to connect with Amitabha. And then when it fades away, we'll have that period of reflection. Om Amideva Hri. Om Amideva Hri. Om Amideva Hri. Om Amideva Hri.
Om Amideva Hri.
So you may like to spend some of the time reflecting and just writing down things that you might want to let go of. Acknowledging, owning past unskillfulness during this last year. And just to say that we'll have another 10 minutes or so for this reflection. Okay, so even if you haven't finished, you can always add to that in your own time. So in a minute, we're going to be doing a couple of sections from a puja ritual dedicated to Green Tara. Specifically, the confession section and then a section rejoicing. So, in the Sevenfold Pujas, in lots of different versions of Sevenfold Pujas, you will usually get a confession section of verses followed by rejoicing verses. And I think it's not an accident that once we've acknowledged, once we've let go, taken responsibility for stuff, then we're freer, and then we can focus more on the positive and see and rejoice in our own and others' good qualities and achievements and spiritual development or whatever. And the mudita, that quality that Ratnadeva mentioned earlier. You have the compassion and then you have the sympathetic joy, which is mudita, and that's kind of a gladness as well. And that can be gladness for people's good fortune, but also for their good qualities and our own as well. And there's something about both the external and internal conditions that we're working with in our practice, all our practice on and off the cushion. Through following the threefold path of ethics, meditation, and wisdom. So often with ethics, we're thinking more of the things that we do and we say, aren't we? But from Buddhist perspective, it's also linked to our thoughts. So it talks about actions of body, speech, and mind. I think making explicit that actually our state of mind, the views that we have, will, in a way, and those Vedana responses that we were talking about earlier around the things that we like and don't like, that are often unconscious, just reactive. Those are all coming from our minds. And if we don't bring more awareness and work with and transform those things, then we are going to be acting in the world in unskillful ways. And if we have behaved in ways that are skillful or unskillful, that will have an effect on our state of mind. Yeah, it will. So, if we can let go of some of the stuff that we're holding on to, that's freeing, it liberates us, and then there can be a lot more energy and joy and positivity. Yeah. So, this is part of a puja dedicated to Green Tara, who's a female Buddha or Bodhisattva. Again, very much associated with compassion. Well, Green Tara very much with compassion and earth and growing things. But she's also particularly known as someone that you can call on. She's supposed to respond very immediately and help save us from our fears and terrors. There's the eight great terrors, which symbolically she's associated with, but just generally, that idea that when we're in a state of anxiety or fear, that can often be what leads to us acting or not acting in ways that we may regret later. So the verses from this puja are particularly focused on confessing all the different anxieties and fears that may impact on us and our actions, and just acknowledging them and letting them go. So, Ratnadeva, were you happy to do these verses in call and response with me?
Sure thing.
Okay, so what we'll do is we will do these verses in call and response, and then at the end, Ratnadeva will lead us in the Amitabha mantra again to end up this section of the evening. And just to say that we do have a full day tomorrow. It's New Year's Day and we have 10 o'clock, 3:30 and 8. And there'll be very much a focus tomorrow on looking forward and into the next year and what other positive conditions that we might want to set up. Confession of faults. Fearless lady, powerful queen.
Fearless lady, powerful queen.
You who save beings from the 8 great terrors.
You who save beings from the 8 great terrors.
Please rescue me.
Please rescue me.
From the 1,008 fears and anxieties that possess my mind.
From the 1,008 fears and anxieties that possess my mind.
Before you, I confess to all the commonplace worries and anxieties that fill my day.
For you, I confess to all the commonplace worries and anxieties that fill my day.
So that I rarely take an easy breath.
So that I rarely take an easy breath.
The fear that stops me trying.
The fear that stops me trying.
The fear that creates a facade.
The fear that creates a facade.
The fear of being with others.
The fear of being with others.
The fear of being alone.
The fear of being alone.
The fear that makes me harsh, tight, and unkind.
The fear that makes me harsh, tight, and unkind.
The fear of not getting what I want.
The fear of not getting what I want.
That makes me grabby and self-concerned.
That makes me grabby and self-concerned.
Before you, I confess the deep fears.
Before you, I confess the deep fears.
Fear of madness.
Fear of madness.
Fear of death.
Fear of death.
Fear of life.
Fear of life.
Fear of anything beyond the tortoise shell of my own ego.
Fear of anything beyond the tortoise shell of my ego.
Before you, I confess the fears that hold me back.
Before you, I confess the fears that hold me back.
From giving myself to the Dharma.
From giving myself to the Dharma.
Fear of commitment to the path.
Fear of commitment to the path.
Fear of change.
Fear of change.
Fear of renunciation.
Fear of renunciation.
Fear of generosity.
Fear of generosity.
Fear of courage.
Fear of courage.
Fear of going deeper.
Fear of going deeper.
Fear of freedom.
Fear of freedom.
Fear of wisdom.
Fear of wisdom.
Fear of devoting myself to all beings.
Fear of devoting myself to all beings.
These fears did not arise by themselves.
These fears did not arise by themselves.
They stem from a million choices and acts in many lives.
But stem from a million choices and acts from previous lives.
Choosing unawareness.
Choosing unawareness.
Choosing lack of courage.
Choosing lack of courage.
Choosing to bury my head in samsara.
Choosing to bury my head in samsara.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
And help me to lay these fears at your feet.
And help me to lay these fears at your feet.
May you pacify them all.
May you pacify them all.
O loving Tara.
O loving Tara.
Please take my shaking hand in yours.
Please take my shaking hand in yours.
And gently form it into the mudra of fearlessness.
And gently form it into the mudra of fearlessness.
Rejoicing in merits. O joyful Tara.
O joyful Tara.
Titans rejoice in their own conquests.
Titans rejoice in their own conquests.
Their one source of happiness is themselves.
Their one source of happiness is themselves.
You rejoice in the good deeds of all beings.
You rejoice in the good deeds of all beings.
So you have infinite sources of delight.
So you have infinite sources of delight.
Fearlessly and free from envy.
Fearlessly and free from envy.
I rejoice in the achievements.
I rejoice in the achievements.
Of all those who bring beauty, peace and courage to the world.
Of all those who bring beauty, peace and courage to the world.
Fearlessly and free from envy.
Fearlessly and free from envy.
I rejoice in the spiritual heroes and heroines.
I rejoice in the spiritual heroes and heroines.
Those victorious ones who conquer self-conceit.
Those victorious ones who conquer self-conceit.
Fearlessly and free from envy.
Fearlessly and free from envy.
I rejoice in you.
I rejoice in you.
And in your endless selfless activity that accomplishes all deeds.
And in your endless selfless activity that accomplishes all deeds.
Fearlessly and free from envy.
Fearlessly and free from envy.
I rejoice in your intimate care for the world.
I rejoice in your intimate care for the world.
So that every leaf.
So that every leaf.
Every blade of grass.
Every blade of grass.
Is soaked with the green of your compassion.
Is soaked with the green of your compassion.
Om Namah Devaya.
Okay, so we'll end this section now. And yes, you're invited that if you did write down some things you want to let go of, that find some way maybe to ritually burn them. You may want to do a little bit of chanting while you do it. And we'll be back here at 11 for some meditation and ritual, taking some verses from the Dhammapada. And then seeing in the new year. And then we'll be back here tomorrow. We start out the new year, maybe explore our intentions and what conditions could be helpful. So yeah, feel free to unmute yourself, say goodbye, post in the chat, and hope to see you around 11.